For over 50 years, conservatives have been fighting against the onslaught of entertainment philosophy in church, against pop music in worship. As you all know well, men like Frank Garlock, Tim Fisher, John Macagina, and others really stood up to the challenge. They wrote articles, wrote books, traveled, spoke, held seminars, were in churches around the country, really defending conservative philosophies of music and worship. And thankfully, in many circles, the entertainment pop philosophy has been held at bay. And we can praise the Lord for that. But there is now a whole new generation of professing Christians who are struggling with some of the same questions that we've been struggling with for 50 years or so, and even facing some new challenges. Some in this generation are facing questions that we've really faced for many years. I'll give you an example of this. A recent interview was done with a man named Chris Sly. Chris was a contemporary of mine at Bob Jones University. But he came, kind of rose to starlight last year in American Idol, and now he's got a booming career as a Christian rocker. In this interview, he was asked this question. He was asked, how do you define Christian music? And here's Chris's reply. He said, I don't know that I would define Christian music. I don't know that Christian is an adjective. It's more of a noun. So I don't know that there really is any Christian music. Christianity defines who I am, so any music that comes out of me is going to be encapsulated into me singing about my beliefs and religious system. In other words, according to Chris, any music produced by a Christian is Christian. No matter what the content, no matter what the style, if a Christian is doing it, then it's Christian, according to Chris. Well, that's really the same kind of answer that we've been getting from the contemporary Christian music for years and years and years. And here's a guy my age saying the same thing. So some of the challenges are the same. Some of the questions are the same. But there are other new challenges, I think, with my generation, with upcoming generations as well. For instance, many doctrinally focused churches are thankfully coming to the conclusion that an entertainment pop philosophy of worship is unbiblical. Thankfully, they're coming to that conclusion. They don't want to make their worship entertainment driven. They want to be God-focused. They want to be doctrine-centered. So they are writing and producing and publishing a whole new body of Christian music that is God-focused. It's rich in doctrinal content. But the problem is that over the years, they have been influenced for 20, 30, 40 years by a philosophy that teaches that culture is relative, music is neutral, and so as long as the textual content is correct, then it doesn't matter what musical form we use. So now we have a whole lot of good men who are endorsing music that has excellent lyrics, rich, doctrinally focused lyrics, but pop musical forms. They fail to recognize that although they reject the entertainment philosophy, they've nonetheless been influenced by that philosophy, maybe without even knowing it. And then, of course, Christians in conservative churches today continue to wrestle with difficult questions. Perhaps you are tonight, especially a lot of young people who maybe haven't heard a lot of preaching and teaching on the subject, are wrestling with these issues. I recently heard of a pastor's meeting where the men were saying that they just longed for more resources to help them teach conservative music and worship principles, especially to their young people. They just longed for more resources to help them along those lines. Things like the rapid growth of the internet and blogs and iTunes and all of that has really created some new challenges for the defense of conservative worship and music. And so with this new generation, my generation, there are arising new issues, new questions, new struggles. And I really believe there's a need for another voice, for something to build on what has already gone before. I was speaking to Tim Fisher recently about my thinking on this ministry, and he mentioned to me he really feels like his influence and the influence of men like him is waning. Maybe it's a generation thing. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but he even feels this, that there needs to be more voices, there needs to be new voices. And men like him and Frank Garlock and others aren't traveling as much as they used to. Pastor Harding mentioned to me just recently as well that he feels like the men who've fought so faithfully and hard after so many years are just getting tired. It's for these reasons that I'm beginning a new ministry, Religious Affections Ministries, I'm calling it. I would like to continue where these men left off. Build on their sound, solid foundation to maintain a defense for conservative worship and music. I've been serving, as you know, for the past 5 years as an associate pastor, most of my responsibilities being in the music and worship field, and so I know very practically the kinds of things people are facing. People like you, people in the pews, the questions that are rising to minds, the issues at home, the issues they're facing. And I spent much time over the past several years. I've been very thankful in the situation that I've been in for the opportunity to have the time to do a lot of studying, reading, researching, writing, and speaking. I've had the opportunity to do some traveling, speaking in churches. I traveled with Pastor Steve and Mac and Beth Lynch to Australia a couple years ago. And so as I've been able to do those kinds of things, the Lord has really given me a burden to be able to expand that and focus on that even more fully. Obviously with church responsibilities, full-time church responsibilities, music and worship being part of it, but I also preach every Sunday evening, have Sunday school classes, administration things. Obviously, I can't put my full efforts, or as much as I would like to, in really focusing on this issue. And so we're beginning a little bit of a transition. I will continue to serve on a part-time basis in a local church, because I feel that's important, that I continue to serve where the rubber meets the road, in the trenches. But then alongside that part-time pastoral ministry in the area of music and worship, I'm starting this ministry to do some traveling, some speaking, and really spend some more time focusing on studying, writing, providing resources for this kind of defense of conservative music. Now, what are my goals in this? My goal is not that everybody cross their T's and dot their I's like me. There's a lot of flexibility. There's a lot of room for differences of opinion on what kind of music is acceptable, what kind of worship is acceptable. But I have four basic commitments, four basic goals, priorities that I have in this new ministry that I'd like to see flourish through providing resources and studying and speaking and writing and that sort of thing. In this ministry, I would like just to promote, to seek to flourish, four commitments of worship. Number one, biblical worship. Number two, lifestyle worship. Number three, deliberate worship. And number four, conservative worship. Let me briefly explain what I mean. Biblical worship, meaning that the Word of God is the ultimate source of authority when it comes to what kind of worship, what kind of music is acceptable to the Lord. Now that may seem like an obvious point, but how many churches today are looking to the market, looking to unbelievers and asking them what kind of worship is acceptable? Well, I want to promote the Bible being the ultimate authority. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't other authorities, but they're only lesser authorities. And so I want to really see that further, the commitment to biblical worship. Lifestyle worship, meaning that worship isn't limited to Sunday. Worship is all of life. Worship is a spiritual response to truth, and that includes every choice, every action, every attitude that we have in all of life. So what that means for us then is every musical choice, not just the choices of music that we listen to on Sunday, but every musical choice should be passed through the grid of, is this a proper response to God as a result of understanding biblical truth about Him? So biblical worship, lifestyle worship. My third commitment is deliberate worship, meaning that in congregational worship, every choice, every song, how the service is ordered is deliberate. I can't tell you how many situations I've been in where I've seen the pastor flipping through his hymnal 5 minutes before the service looking for some hymns. And I have to step back and think, is he being deliberate in what he's choosing? Or, well, we just do our services this way because we've always done it this way. Well, that may be okay, but is there a deliberate reason for the way that we do our services? And so I'd like to encourage that in our churches, that our worship services are deliberately God-focused and deliberately congregation-focused, in that every element of the service is intended to help the congregation respond to truth. So biblical worship, lifestyle worship, deliberate worship, and then the fourth commitment is conservative worship, meaning an understanding that there are absolutes in what is beautiful and what is ugly. There is absolute truth in these areas. a rejection of the philosophy that says we always have to have what is novel. We always have to have what is new and what is fresh and the latest thing passing through. And so a rejection of a pop philosophy of culture and an acceptance of a pursuing of that which stands the test of time in our choices of music and worship. So those are really the four commitments that I'd like to really focus on as I research, write, provide resources, and travel and speak on this issue. Biblical worship, lifestyle worship, deliberate worship, and conservative worship. I was speaking recently to a godly pastor, Mark Minnick, and he gave me some very wise counsel. He said, if a ministry needs meetings or needs sales in order to survive, there's always the temptation to compromise. Because if you need to schedule meetings and you just aren't getting meetings, then you might schedule meetings where you might not otherwise. Or you might not be able to minister in a small church because you need money, so you're going to go to the larger churches. And so what he really encouraged me to do, and the structure that we're going to take this ministry, is to ask like-minded individuals and churches to provide missionary support for our living expenses. So churches that see a burden like I have, see a burden for preaching and teaching and resources in the area of conservative music and worship, will support, as just like a missionary, this ministry. Some churches are adding the ministry to their missions budget. Other churches are adding it to their music budget, because especially small churches, I'm going to be seeking to provide some resources for smaller churches that don't necessarily have a full-time music director. So I'd really appreciate your prayers in this, your prayers especially. This is a bit of a transition for us. And then the plan is then as I do travel, any honorariums, love offerings, that sort of thing, or sales, if I do sell some things, we'll be able to go right back in the ministry to be able to support the flourishing of that. So I really appreciate your prayers.